Life is not what we plan, often is not what we hope, is at times is not what we wish, but it is what it is. And I'm not trying to be cynical. All I'm trying to say is that this morning we all have to look at things, we have to look at life in a way that will give us a good perspective. And by a good perspective, I don't mean a jolly, overwhelming with laughter. Yes, laughter is good. And we need more joy and happiness, especially at times like this. But sometimes our hearts and our inner life is not what we sense and we discern. However, we still have to have a good perspective. We have to be in a position, in a perspective, when we do things in a way that we see clearly. Even when we don't have all the answers. Even when not everything goes according to our plan. And this morning I want to take some time to talk to you about life in the thick of things. Life in the thick of things. I know some of you are familiar with this expression, and I will further explain it, but this is where we are. We are in the middle of things, in the middle of things. And I'm not just referring to the pandemic. Of course, we are still in the pandemic. Here in Romania, this weekend, we moved from the state of emergency to a state of alertness, so we all have to stay alert. Things are still serious. But I'm not even just referring to the pandemic, because for some of you, for some of us, we were going through things even before the pandemic hit. Maybe like some situations with your family or some dynamics at your place of work or in your school. For some of us, the thick of things starts happening when we get a medical report. We get some news that are not good. For some of us, and as we just heard a few days ago, or some of you maybe a few moments ago, this week we lost a friend. Alexandra Giula lost her husband. We lost a member of our community. And it's the thick of things. And it's the thick of the thoughts. It's the thick of the emotions. It's the questions. It's the fear times. The anger, the disappointment. In all of this, we are going through things. We are going through situations that require us to have a good perspective, for us to have a right approach, just like an airplane. And some of you are waiting to get on airplanes, and some of you had to change your plane tickets again and again because of the pandemic and the new rules, and they keep changing the rules. But like airplanes, when they take off and when they land and when they fly, they have to have the right angle, the right approach as they come on the tarmac, you know, in the airports. Just like that, our lives, we have to have the right approach. We have to be have that kind of perspective that is healthy, that is appropriate. So these are some of the thoughts that I want to share. How do we do life when we're in the thick of things? Another parallel we could draw from track and field, from the marathons. I know we have people in our own community who have run a marathon or a half marathon, and we try to do things in a way that we can be in better physical shape and be able to run such a long race and be able to complete it well, you know. So in a marathon, which is a very special race, and that's why even at the Olympics they have it on the last day, because it's like a top, it's considered like a crown of the contest. Athletes have to have a certain approach. They have to be able to deal with the physical, emotional, and mental issues that are involved in running a marathon. And just like that, in our lives, as we deal with the pandemic, as we deal with other things in our life, as we deal with family, life, friendship, collaboration, teamwork, church work, business work, dreams, disappointments, we are in a marathon of life. And when we find ourselves in the middle of things, in the thick of things, we have to have the right approach. Like the athletes who run the marathon, they prepare well. They prepare for what is expected, but they prepare for the unexpected. Sometimes weather can be very different from what they train for. Sometimes their body acts out, and they cannot run according to their full potential. But they often say that right in the middle of the race, it's hard for some of them to maintain the focus. That's why many of them give up. Even sometimes people who are favorites, people who won medals before, they give up. halfway through the race or before the end of the race, because it's difficult. It's the pain. It seems too much. You know, I don't want to be too detailed here, but sometimes you see some of them, they need a break. They stop, not just to get some water. No, some of them is like they need to sit for a second. Some of them throw up. It's difficult. All I'm trying to say, we may feel like that right now, because of our circumstances, because it's like, who knows what's happened? Who knows when we'll be able to have a normal life again? And it'll be a new normal, but we want some new normal. We are tired of this emergency, state of alert, to write statements. It's great that right now, if we walk around Bucharest, and even around Bucharest, we don't need to write a statement. Only if we have to travel, if we want to go to Sinaia or in a different city, then we need to make a new statement, whether you're Romanian or not. But regardless of that, we have to remember, you know, where we're going. We have to remember there is an end of the race. So this is why marathons are good. And even when we go through something very difficult, Winston Churchill, a very famous British prime minister, he said at one time something like this: if you happen to go to hell, keep going. And sometimes life can be like that. And thank God for most of us, it's not like that. But sometimes it can get like that. You know, it can get very intense. People, I have friends who lost dear ones because of the virus. People who are dealing with pain and loss and intense struggles and anxiety. Keep going. Ask God for strength. So I just want to share about some attitudes, some basic approaches and actions that can help us when we are in the thick of things, when we are in the middle of things. Because sometimes with a marathon or when you start something, at the beginning you have the enthusiasm, you have the power, you have the fresh energy, you have the excitement that keeps you. Or sometime when you are closer to the end, closer to the goal, you can see the end in sight, you can smell the prize, so to say. You get a boost of energy, even if your body is tired or something like that. But when you're in the thick of things, in the thick of thin of things, in the middle of things, when the fresh start is not fresh anymore, when you don't see the end yet, it can be difficult. That's when faith needs to kick in, because you cannot see it with your eyes, you cannot feel it with your emotions, but you need to hang on to it. And without trying to give you a complete list, I want to share about a few things. For those of you who take good notes, there will be about five of them. And basically, they have to do with the past, the present, and the future. Because even though we are running now, and the race is now, right now we find ourselves in the thick of things, we have to process the past, we have to live in the present, but we also have to look and deal with the future. And in each of these regards, in each of these segments of time, I believe there are some good, healthy attitudes. And these are based not just on my experience and intelligence, but as you will see, a lot of it, it's straight out of the Bible, or we can see advices and verses and characters in the Bible who try to do exactly this. So the first thing, the first attitude is very simple. You have to remember some things. This is about the past, but of course, we have to remember your plans. Do not give up on your dreams. You know, maybe take out that list. You wrote it somewhere. Maybe you wrote it in January when you made New Year's resolution. Or what your plans for your business, for your life before the pandemic. What were you considering? What did you want to get done this year? You know, maybe look at those things that God spoke to you, you know, on your heart, through a prophetic word or through something. How did God give you a picture of the future? Yeah, sometimes it's hard to focus on that when there is so much going on right now. Right now, you have to deal with it. You have to find masks. You have to find the new rules. You have to find the money for the next bill, for rent. You have to find a way to adjust. Yes, we need to do that. I know we'll get to the present, but don't let go of everything from the past. Don't let go of some of your dreams, of some of the things that God spoke to you, of some of the strategy that you had. Yes, it might have to be adapted. Some of it you may have to postpone a little bit, but you don't throw it all out. You know, it's like the expression say, don't throw the baby with the bathwater, you know, because what we want to do, we want to keep the things that are good. And the Bible reminds us to write things down. The Bible says, write the vision. The Bible says, write it down so you can tell your children the history, the great breakthroughs. We need to do that. So One thing about the past, remember the plans, remember the dreams, remember those things. Secondly, also remember the trials you've been through already. Remember the wins you already had. Remember all the tests you came through, that God pulled you through. Because this is a test. And I'm not, like I said before, I'm not just referring to the test of the pandemic. It can be other things. Some of them that the pandemic has nothing to do with, or in other situation, the pandemic, it's only a catalyst or makes it bigger. Regardless of what I'm facing, you know, I'm facing many things in many areas. We have to remember that God is faithful. And he's been faithful in our lives many times. And he pulled us through many things at many times. So that's a beautiful thing. And it's important to do so. Because as we remember that God pulled us through, that God gave us victories before, we will know that this too shall pass. Whatever this may be, whatever emotion, whatever anxiety, whatever difficult or impossible situation you are dealing with right now, this too shall pass. And it helps us to sometimes look at the past. It's like, you know, sometimes if you want to jump over a fence or if you want to jump over a cap, what you do, you go back a little bit so you can get a little bit of momentum going, so you can have some inertia, the good momentum, the good inertia, not the kind of stuff that keep us in a rut. And let me read you some verses from Scripture. And in Psalm 42, it says this, Psalm 42, verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? It's like, we want this. Like, when can we be again? When can we have celebration and sing songs together, not through media? It's great that we have the internet. It's great that the guys are helping us, but we want to be together. When is the next time we can have Lord's communion together and all of it? We'll see. We are praying. I'm continuing to read from Psalm 42. Where is God? My tears have been my food day and night while people say to me all day long, where is your God? Sometimes we say, where is God in all of this? What is God up to? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go into the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. And listen to verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Hallelujah. Sometimes this is what we need to do. We need to speak to ourselves. I'm not talking about the kind of behavior that people, you know, sometimes we see them in the streets, you know, they go around and they speak to themselves. And I'm not talking about people who speak on their devices, on Bluetooth, on the phone, people who have issues. But it's good to speak to ourselves. It's good to command our soul, to speak to our mind, to speak to our emotions, even when sometimes we don't necessarily feel things. Again, I'm not just talking about here some new practice, some new age stuff, or like self-motivation. I'm talking about the spirit taking precedent over the emotions, over even some of the painful memories, over some of the fear and anxiety that we feel. To know that God is still good, even if not everything is good right now. That he is faithful, even though right now we don't have some of the answers to the issues and struggles that we face. We need to save it. Just like the psalmist here says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Yet put your hope in God. So we need to take a moment and say, Christy, say your name. Put your hope in God, because you'll yet see the praise of God. God will take you to a wide place. God will take you. He will pull you through this because he's faithful. He will do it again, like the song says, like the Bible says. He will do it again. So that's why it's so important to remember this from the past, the trials and tests that God pulled us through. You know, and one thing that we have to remember is this. The promises of the past are not changed. They are not canceled by the current changing situations. The promises stay true, whether we talk about the general promises that we found in the Word of God for his children, because we are his children. If we are born of faith, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, if we understand that he is our hope, and we are in this season where we still declare, Christ is alive, you know, Christ is risen. We are still in that Christian calendar, and according to the Western calendar, in a few days we will mark the ascension of Christ, him going to heaven. So when we say Christ is risen, but even at Christmas you can say Christ is risen. In August you can say Christ is risen, because it's the foundation of our hope. It's the foundation that adopts us into the family of God. And because of that, we can say Christ is still faithful to us. So let me say this again. The promises from the past, the plans from the past have not expired, even though the current situation is changing. The situations are troubling. I saw this morning our brother Aaron, you know, said, sent an encouragement in our life and said, be strong even in these turbulent times. Things are shaky. I don't know if some of you happen ever to be on a plane that goes through a big storm. It can be scary, especially for some of us who have sensitive stomach. It can be like, woo! It's like, you know, I've been through a couple of those. It's not fun at all. And this is how I feel like our lives at times right now in this season, it's, you know, or sometimes not because of the pandemic, other dynamics, it can feel like very scary, but God is still good. Okay, so we talked about some things from the past, you know, to remember the plans, to not let go of the dreams, also to remember the tests and trials that God already brought us through. Also, we have to live in the present. Not just live the day, carpe diem, as some people say. There is some uses of that expression, but I'm talking about more. We have to remember things, but we have to act now. We have to be present. And when it comes to today, to what we do right now, the advice or the approach that I encourage would be this. Please decide to live, not just to survive. I don't know how many of you have had such thoughts in the last few weeks, but I know I had them. At times I feel like I'm tired of this. You know, if we're together, I'll ask you to raise your hand to see how many deal, but it's like, you know, I see Rob right here helping with the camera. I said, yes, he's tired of this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of going through all the preparation and keeping my clothes separately, you know, trying to protect my mom and trying to stay safe. I'm trying all the I was so tired of writing statements. You know, some of you know my background is in law, but I'm tired. I had to write so many. I'm going to keep some of them to show future generations, like how I had to write. And some days I would even have to write three of them because my plan would have to change and I didn't want to have to deal with difficult policemen. I wouldn't want to give them any money. We have better use of money, you know. But It's tiring. So survival is sometimes all we can do. And even survival seems to take too much. It's like, I'm tired, you know, you go to the marketplace and sometimes people don't know how to be respectful of you, you know, even at difficult times. They don't know how to keep the distance. It's tiring, you know. But God has called us to more than survival. And we remember that promise in John 10:10 says, the thief, our opponent, the devil, you know, he comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. He wants to take things away from us. But Christ, I have come to give you life and life abundant. So we have to live in the presence and we have to make a decision to live, to thrive, not just to survive. And some of you said, oh, well, that sounds like a nice pep talk, Pastor Christy, but how can we do that? I'm glad you asked. We cannot simply do that through our sheer will, through our emotions and experience. Those are good. But I'm talking about making a decision. Decide to live. Decide that you're going to thrive, not just to survive. And let me give you some examples. Like we find in the book of Joshua. At one time, Joshua, the leader, who lived in turbulent times, he went through a lot of battles, he went through victories, but a lot of setbacks, and sometimes the setbacks have nothing to do with him. It was just life or the choices of other people, but he had to deal with them. But at one time, we find these verses in Joshua 24, verse 15, that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have to make a decision for your family, for your household, whether you live alone, whether you live with your parents, whether you are married but don't have children, whether you have children, maybe even you are a grandparent. For you and your household, live, decide to live. Decide to live for Christ. Decide that you're not going to let the temperature of the world to decide the temperature of your heart. Decide that you're not going to let the emotions that most people share on Facebook, on the news, to decide your attitude and your perspective. And please hear me out. I'm not against those things. If those of you who know me, you know that I'm a big intaker of news. I read a lot. I try to stay updated. I read known people or even common people, people that just have a few friends. I want to know people's thoughts and ideas. But more than that, I want to know the right perspective. I'm not ignoring reality, but I want to not just respond to reality and survive reality. I want to shape reality through the power that God is giving us. Just like Joshua was able to change things for his family and for his tribe and for generations to come. So that's one thing about the family or your own life. Secondly, when you talk about deciding now to thrive, not just to survive, in whatever you do, in your business, in your work, you know, be diligent, be creative, be proactive. Don't just react. Yes, you have to do your job, and I talk to people every week in our community and others. You know, they tell me the ups and downs and having to work from home and be having more interruptions. Some people feel they're more productive. Some people feel like they have to work more in order to get the same amount of work done like before. It's life, depending on your circumstances, depending on your space, depending on your line of work. But whatever the details are, and you know the details, be proactive. Do the best that you can. Decide that you will not let negative thoughts overwhelm you. It's like, yes, maybe right now your clients don't need you. They are not willing to pay you because they don't have money. But you can still support your clients. You can communicate with them. You can listen to them. You can ask them, what do you foresee your needs in 2 months from now? How do you think your life, your business is going to change? That can help. It can help you prepare. It can help you maintain, you know, loyalty with your clients, with your partners. Find ways. Find ways to be proactive. Decide that you're not going to, like, oh, man, it's so scary. It's going to be a big, setback for the economy. Yes, there are challenges. I'm not saying we should have a Pollyannish look. Look at reality in the face, but look at it with faith. Look at it with determination, okay? So that's also something for us to understand. Also, last point here when it comes to dealing with the presence, deciding that we are going to live, not just survive, has to do with maybe with church. Maybe with church. I think this is a great time for all of us to understand better what church should be and what true church is not. You know, we've been saying for years, the church is not the building, the church is not the program. And thank God like that, because otherwise we would feel like we don't have church, but we do have church, because church is about Christ. And this is not my idea, it's not just the theology of our church. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there will be in their midst. So wherever people meet in the name of Christ, even if they meet on Zoom, they cannot have coffee together. You know, they cannot be on a couch and enjoy a dinner like many of us like to together. Even if we do it through, if we do it in the name of Christ, if we ask God to direct our thoughts, if we commit our lives to Him, it's still church. The mission of the church goes on even in these difficult circumstances. This week was a tough week, an intense week for me. But one highlight for me was a few days ago in the middle of a difficult situation. I found out that Razvan passed away on Wednesday, and I stopped by to speak with Alexandra, his wife, and get her some details about and prepare the arrangements for the funeral. And I knew there are people there, so when I walked in the house, I saw this picture and this image. Cheryl was there, and Cheryl has had her own medical challenges lately. But when she heard the news, she didn't just like send a nice message. She decided to get up because she feels close, and there she's close to Alexandra. She went to Alexandra's house and was there for her. Not only was there, but she was cooking and doing dishes, just like what you expect close friends and family to do at a time like this. And, you know, and others of you in our community responded so well and empathetic to Alexandra, but I will never forget walking into that apartment and seeing Cheryl there. After, and she was there for hours, ready to serve, ready to do whatever she can to support Alexandra. And I know Alexandra will remember that forever. That's what church should be like. And we do not need to meet with 100 people or 20 people by Chishmiju to do that. We can live it even in tough circumstances. Even when we are in the thick of things, when death and separation intervenes. So please remember, and like we talk in our church, being church has to do with being a community. You have to decide that you're going to be a committed disciple of Christ, not just appeal to God whenever you need His help or whenever you feel like you're in trouble. He's more than a shrink or Santa Claus. He's God and Lord. He wants to lead and rule your life, not with an iron fist, but because He loves you and He has great plans. Make a decision to be more than a searcher. Yes, search for the truth. If you have questions, ask your questions to God and other people. We're not offended, and God is not offended that you have tough questions and you struggle. He's not. But decide to move on, not just to come every once in a while to church, but to be church, to be committed. And because once we understand that we are a community of believers, a community of disciples, we understand that we are with a mission. Where the gospel impacts us, the gospel forms community, and the community has a mission. And our mission is not just to build a program, an audience, numbers. Our mission is to show kindness to people. Show kindness to your friends, to elderly neighbors, to your colleagues at work. Give an encouragement. Yes, you have to deal with your own life, with your own family. But set some time and energy aside to be a blessing to others and be a church, okay? So all of this has to do with the present. To decide that you're going to live and thrive, not just survive. Lastly, we have to look to the future. We cannot just remember the past and live in the present. We have to look forward. Just like a plane, even when it encounters storms, needs to remember, what is my destination? Which airport do I need to get to? Just like an athlete, when he runs the marathon and he feels big pains and he feels like giving up, and maybe it starts raining and maybe his shoes break, like sometimes happens in races, you don't give up. You remember the prize. And Apostle Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what's behind me, I look forward to the prize of the calling, you know. So we have to look to the future. Sorry. And when it comes to the future, we need to anticipate with joy some things ahead. Just like athletes, and sometimes I listen to interviews with athletes, and some of the people who win marathon, they say, when I'm getting close, I picture myself crossing the line. The victory, I picture myself giving a hug to my family or high five, or some of them who are in front of the race, I picture myself wearing the medal. We need to do that. And I'm not just talking about positive reinforcements and neurolinguistics. I'm talking about being able to anticipate, to celebrate the gift and give thanks by faith for the things that you'll receive. You know, when I'm talking about small things and bigger things, for example, I have been looking forward in the last 3 weeks to enjoy a walk in the park again. You know, I do that very often. It's one of my coping mechanisms to live in Bucharest, and especially if it's crowded, noisy, stressing Bucharest. But I have my parks. I have my Parcul Carol and other parks that I like to go to, and they're so enjoyable. But for months and a half, I couldn't. But I have been looking forward to. So Friday night, even though it was a very long day and everything, it was late into the night when I finally was able to go. But I went. You know, it was something that I look forward to. I have other things that I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to go to my favorite place in the Carpathian Mountains, and I'm going to do that soon. I'm looking forward to being at the Black Sea sometime this summer. It may be a month, it may be 3 months, but I will be there. You know, but of course, other things. I'm looking forward to celebrate communion with many of you, hopefully in just a few weeks. I'm looking forward to the fulfillment of some of the plans and some of my resolutions from a few months ago. Even though the last few months have been exactly opposite of what I wanted, opposite of what I planned and prayed for, I'm not giving up, and I'm looking forward. And I encourage you to do the same, because the Bible encourages us to do that. It tells us that we should be like that. We should look forward, you know. And even in the Psalms that we read, and not just Psalm 42, the next one, 43, it's very similar. It says, vindicate my God and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. Sometimes life can feel like that, you know. And then it says a prayer. Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. So you need leading for the future. So we need to look forward and ask God for strength to look for the future. Let them bring me to your holy mountain. You look to the peak, not just to enjoy the mountains physically, but to the peak of life, because the God of the valley, it's the God of the mountain, and he can make it. Hallelujah. And I'm excited. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, with, oh God, my God. And we listen to verse 5 from Psalm 43. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Yes, it's the same verse as Psalm 42. And it's the same verse like 42:5 and 43:5. You don't find that in the Bible often or rarely. But you find it here in Psalm 42 or 43. It's important to speak to ourselves about the present, but also about the future. That there, I will yet praise Him. I will yet have hope. I will have renewed hope. I will make it to the summit. I will make it to the mountain. Hallelujah. And we do that not just because of our experience, not just because of our perseverance and strength. We do it because we know the character of God. We know in whom we put our trust. We know in whom to believe and why we believe in Him. And one of the famous and most dear verses to me that have, you know, this God has ministered to me over and over again in the last few months from this passage of Scripture. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 12, right after the chapter 11, which is chapter of faith. And it says this in Hebrews 12, and it has, again, has to do with the future. We have to look straight to Christ, to Jesus. And it says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. This is what I'm encouraging you and me. Look to the future in a way that we fix our eyes on Jesus, because He is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand on the throne of God. Consider Him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Some of us feel weary because of disappointments, because of the pandemic, because of the tiredness, because of all the rules, because of all the precautions, because of change plans, because of the financial limitation, because of physical limitation, whatever that you or other people may feel. But we are not to lose heart. And in order for us to do that, we need an outside source of help. When you are in a pit, when you find yourself in a mash, you cannot just pull yourself out from your own hair. You need an outside help. You need an outside support. And this is our God. Our God is a mighty fortress, is a mighty shelter. He's our rock, hallelujah, an ever-present help in time of need. And this is a time of need, you know, in so many ways. And this passage is so clear. Even when it says here that we are to run with perseverance the race marked for us, the word race in Greek used here is very similar to the word agony. Because sometimes when you run a marathon, it feels like so painful, so difficult. You hear, you know, only if you ever try to run more than a few kilometers, you know the agony of pushing your body, you know. Or like when you try to cycle for a long distance, it's an agony. And sometimes life can feel like that. Sometimes we wonder, you know, we don't know if in a few weeks, hopefully after 1 month of state of alertness, things will be even safer and better, you know. We pray for the doctors to have wisdom to discover the right treatments. We pray for authorities in Romania, in UK, in Paris, in America, everywhere to make best of decisions. We pray that China will not cause more problems. But whatever life will bring to us, God is still good. He's still on the throne. So that's why our eyes have to be fixed on Him. Because if we fix our eyes on us, it's not enough. And I know some of you are resourceful, nice, kind people, but you don't have in yourself enough. You don't have enough of what it takes. Through Christ, you do. Christ in you is a hope of glory. We cannot rely on governments, whether your government is the American government or the Filipino government or the Romanian government or the European Union. No, it is God. We have to respect governments, pray for them, hope that they'll make even better decisions, choose the best leaders we can in the given circumstance. But our hope has to be in Him and Him alone. So as I draw this to a conclusion, please remember, it is not the present circumstance who decides where you'll end. It is not the position where you find yourself in the middle of the race that decides your position at the end of the race. You remember Eric Liddell or other famous athletes who sometimes have to come from behind and win a race. Or like in football, when a team, American football, Romanian football, or English football, true football, they come from behind. They come from 2-0, they win with 3-2 or 5-4. There's a favor. We can do that through Christ who strengthens us. But for that, we need to do more than prayer. Prayer is important. But we need to speak to our mind. We need to have the right approach. We need to have the right angle when it comes to the past, the present, and the future. And again, this is more than a pep talk. This is a reminder of who our strength is. So when I mentioned to you Christ is risen, I didn't just say it because it's the season to say such things, especially in Romania. I'm saying it to you because it's the foundation of our hope. Just like the verse that I just read from you, to you from Hebrews 12 says, that he is the pioneer. He started our journey of faith, and with him we will finish. He is a perfecter. You and I are not perfect yet. And some of us are more imperfect than others. But Jesus, our Lord, has enough strength and kindness and truth and grace to perfect us, to carry us through the trial, through the loss, through the difficulty, through the pandemic, through the disappointment, and on the other side, to the dream and vision that he has for us. This is where I stand. I can do no else, to kind of quote Martin Luther's famous words at one time. And our position can be strong, not because of the knowledge, not just because of the books or the people that we know, because our position is on the solid rock of Christ. All else is sinking sand, but through him, we will more than survive, we will thrive. So help us, God. Hallelujah. Amen.